I bring back Linda S. Godfrey this week for a number of reasons. We go into detail about a little more about the man wolf. There's a couple of stories she didn't share the last time. Pretty chilling stuff. So I'm not here to scare anybody. So if you're faint of heart, don't listen. I'm giving you a warning. Because this stuff, you know, if you dwell on it and you're by yourself in the middle of the woods, let's say you go camping. But I don't think there's anything to be afraid of. I truly don't. Also, we talk about the man bat incident. I wanted to get more detail on that because what the heck was that? And she'll tell us what really happened to these two men down in La Crosse, Wisconsin, near La Crosse, Wisconsin, a few years back when they encountered a really strange thing. Plus, she's also got more reports of the man wolf, and she follows up on just about anything. If you have any kind of weird encounter and you don't know who to talk to, who's going to investigate it, who's going to laugh at you, I'll tell you what, Linda Godfrey will not laugh. She will actually take the time and investigate it, even go to the place where it took, you know, where it took place. And she's a good-natured individual, so that's nice to know if you need to contact somebody. And she's not going to make light of it. She's heard enough of these stories, really strange ones, over the years, that she keeps an open mind. So Linda S. Godfrey is back for another edition of Out There.
Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there. Out there. Out there. Out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
This week on the show, Linda Godfrey is from Elkhorn. I've had her on before. She's, well, near Elkhorn, Wisconsin. It's in the southeast part. She's written some, well, written a few books. How you doing, Linda?
I'm great. Thanks, TJ. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming back. Apparently, I didn't ruffle your feathers, so you know you're willing to come back and talk to me again. That's good.
Oh, anytime.
You've been an author for, once again, if you don't mind telling me, how long has that been now?
Well, my first book was published in 2003, but I had been, previous to that, a reporter for 10 years for a newspaper.
You didn't believe in a lot of this stuff, did you?
Well, I was really skeptical when I was sort of baptized by fire by being the first to report the man-sized, upright, bipedal, wolf-like creatures that I call man-wolf, other people call them werewolves, that were first reported. The first big flap was reported around Bray Road near Elkhorn.
The Beast of Bray Road.
About 1993, I think that was. 92 it was.
Okay.
Actually, the story appeared New Year's Eve 91, so it ran over into 92. And then, to my surprise, found out that Michigan had its own dog man, and that had come out in 1987, but just didn't go quite as national. And I'm pretty sure they're the same creature. But you're right, I was very skeptical at first, and then as time went on, and more people reported these things to me, and it became apparent that the people reporting them were not drunks or lunatics or anything else that would expect you to believe that they were leading me on, but just regular, sober, honest citizens, ranging from children to senior citizens, men, women, blue collar, white collar, and they all were seeing approximately the same thing. And it just led me into many other areas. People started reporting all kinds of strange things to me, and that is why I ended up writing not only books on this upright strange creature, titled The Beast of Bray Road and Hunting the American Werewolf, working on a third, but I also got into the Weird series published by Barnes & Noble, and then follow-ups, Strange Wisconsin and Strange Michigan.
You wrote a book with Lisa Scheel, and that was the Strange Michigan one, and also you did Weird Michigan, and you've done the same for Wisconsin, and you told me those books are really doing pretty well. People are really into that stuff, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah, particularly the Weird Michigan book by Barnes & Noble is just going great guns. I'm really amazed. But there was so much that I could not, and I had put probably 5,000 miles on my car traveling around Michigan doing research for that. And I had so much that they could not fit it all in the book. So my other publisher wanted to do a sequel, and that's how Strange Michigan and Strange Wisconsin came about.
Okay, so that's a follow-up. And you were telling me that you've, now, because I'm broadcasting out of Upper Michigan. You traveled through Upper Michigan, got a lot of weird stories in this area as well, right?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, in fact, people have often asked me which state is stranger, Wisconsin or Michigan. And I feel a little bit disloyal saying this, but, you know, until I really traveled Michigan, I probably would have said Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is plenty weird with things like Man Bad and all sorts of stuff. But Michigan has Detroit and the UP, and Wisconsin has nothing like either one of those.
Are you talking about the people or the strange things?
Everything. You know, it is strange. I didn't find the people in the UP to be any different than anywhere else. It's just that there are so many weird things, you know, and it's just every single town.
Why do you think that is?
Has tons of strangeness. Well, I think it's sort of the same factor as Wisconsin. You know, you get these long winters, and then you get people who have a little bit more leisure time on their hand. They start making strange yard environments. Spend their time making weird art. I think you have people who are more attuned to the outdoors and are out there observing things more often. You also have a lot of sacred Native American areas where you have a very long history of strangeness, and you have ancient mounds and legends and other types of sacred places that lend themselves that way.
So is like the energy of the area? Does that have something to do with it, you think, or...?
Yeah, and I don't know which comes first, the energy or the strangeness, but there is an energy to these areas that whether the people have created it or it was there and the people were attracted to it, I don't know. It's hard to say. But you've just got this. It's the same kind of thing that comes into play. You and I were talking earlier about the Man Bat, which is over in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Is that the only place the Man Bat has ever been seen, the Man Bat?
Well, other winged strange humanoids have been seen all over the country. You know, there's the Mothman from Point Pleasant, Virginia, West Virginia. And there's also other reports of strange winged things that you get all over the country. But it's really unusual to find specific incidents like this. And La Crosse, Wisconsin, for anybody who isn't familiar with it, has that same aura of strange inherent energies lent by the geography and very ancient occupations by Native Americans. It is the confluence of three rivers, which would make it a very sacred site to any Native American, and also made it a place that was very attractive to early French traders. There's an island in one of the rivers. It's Mississippi, the Black, and the La Crosse rivers all come together there. And it also was unglaciated, which means that it has very tall bluffs. There's one called Granddad's Bluff that is a real tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm. I've been through there many times.
Pardon?
I've been through La Crosse many times.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. And you can see why it has those. And it's also one of the rare western sites of the animal-shaped effigy mounds. Is found just a little south of La Crosse, Wisconsin. So you've got all these things kind of coming together there. And we have also, sadly, for the past several decades, college students have been drowning for no apparent reason in the river. It's a thing that has been going on. Nobody's been able to solve it. It's just a completely baffling thing.
Really?
And 3 days before the very last one of those unexplained drownings, a man who happened to be a part Cherokee medicine man, he just gives his name as Wohali. He was in his 50s, and his 25-year-old son were driving home from, they're both musicians, they were driving home from a practice session in La Crosse to their rural home. They're on this road called Briggs Road, just north of La Crosse, heading toward Holman, and this huge thing came flying at their truck just as they crested a hill.
Now, when you say huge, how big would you say it is?
Well, imagine you're in a truck and something with a 10-foot bat-like wingspan. excuse me, is coming right for you.
Wow.
They had no time to really react or stop. It flew right up. Its face came right in at the windshield. And he's drawn a couple of pictures for me, and it is somewhat canine-looking, snarling with its mouth open, big fangs. They could see long claws on the arm-like extensions that sort of held the wings. So it was bat-like, but a little more human-like. The body was human-sized, furry, and just before it hit the windshield, it emitted this piercing shriek and sailed straight up and went over the treetops. They became immediately sick to their stomachs.
Sick to their stomach.
Yeah, the son had to pull over and throw up, and he was sick all night. Wahali was sick for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I went to La Crosse as soon as I could within a couple of weeks to investigate. And I was really skeptical of this one, too, in the beginning. But after numerous interviews, meeting them in person, examining the site, and by the way, at the exact site where we had seen it, where he had seen it, we found a partially skinned and mutilated deer carcass.
Wow.
The haunches of the deer had been pulled completely off. Hmm. And a lot of the good other meat was left on it. And it looked as if it had been dropped into the brambles. There were no drag marks or anything like that. We didn't see bullet holes. It was very strange.
You know what it sounds like to me, Linda?
What?
Sounds like Man-Bat's kind of a picky eater. That's what it sounds like.
Well, somebody who was with us when we were looking was an experienced deer hunter and slaughter person, and she said that it looked to her like the haunches had been ripped off somewhere else, and that part of the body had been deposited because there was no blood, there were no, you know, gobbets of flesh anywhere. It was just as if it had been dropped into this kind of little bramble.
That's just really kind of creepy, too. I'll say that. We have to take a break. Linda S. Godfrey is joining me from, she's near Elkhorn, Wisconsin. We're talking about a number of things, including Man-Bat. That's something I think it would scare something right out of me, that's for sure. And Strange Michigan and Weird Michigan, and we'll continue with more in just a moment. If you want to find out more about Linda's investigation into the man-wolf, you can go to thebeastofbrayrow.com, or you can also check out some other strange stuff at weirdmichigan.com. There also will be a place where you can contact her. You can send her an email if you have any stories that you want to share with her, and maybe she will have some knowledge because she's investigated. And I'm willing to put my neck out for Linda. I think she will really do her best, be honest, be skeptical, but also treat you very well and treat you with a lot of respect. If you have a story you want to report,
it's out there.
Her name is Linda Godfrey. She is a researcher. She's been doing this for a while. She's written a few books, and she's talking about something that's pretty creepy, the man bat. Now, you talked about the man wolf the last time we were on, and that sounds a little scary, but this thing's even, if there is such a thing, weirder, I think, than the man wolf. So
yes,
these guys,
I'm
sorry,
right.
tell us more about this story. This story's not done yet.
No, there is more to it. And by the way, this story is recounted fully in Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness by Trails Books, in case anyone is interested.
Okay.
But the thing is that their problems didn't really end there. For weeks afterwards, Wahali and his son had very strange things happen at their rural home. They would have somebody knocking on the door very loudly. The dogs would be cowering in fear in the middle of the room, and there would be no one there. They felt that something was stalking them in the trees outside. And this was recounted in a local newspaper, and after that appeared, I got a few more sightings reports from other people, and a man wrote me, who lived on French Island, which is the little island that La Crosse is built around, and told me that he had actually seen something like this, and so had another person, two people then on French Island, that saw something big and black and huge, bigger than a bird, landing in the trees. And he described it as kind of sleek and slinky in the way that it moved. And he could never get a really good look at it, but he knew that it was dark and had huge wings. And they would hear it walking around on the roofs of their houses.
Hmm.
Which, to me, is super creepy.
I'd be under the bed. I wouldn't even be in that room. I'd be down in the basement or somewhere, locked in a closet or something. How do these people deal with that?
Well, it makes them a little crazy for a while. You know, they were really afraid. You know, all of these witnesses were really afraid of it. It finally seemed to subside. But the thing is that these huge winged creatures in mythology and in other places are often seen as portents or harbingers of death and disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was very interesting that this particular incident occurred just 3 nights before someone else disappeared into that Mississippi River.
Mm.
And it reminds you of the Mothman sightings in Point Pleasant, Virginia, where it was seen as a harbinger of that big bridge disaster.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge went down there, all these people were killed.
Right.
And just makes you kind of wonder, you know, what the origin of these creatures are. Is it something natural? It's been suggested to me that there perhaps might still be some members of the giant Audubon eagle that was drawn and recorded by John James Audubon, the famous naturalist, but that's believed to have gone extinct. It had a 10-foot wingspan, but this thing that they saw didn't look like an eagle.
No, not exactly.
No, it had bat wings, it was furry, you know, it had a canine face.
That would scare the hell out of me. There's no question about it. You know, and I am of this belief, and I don't know how you see this, because this is what I've kind of accepted with my understanding of things, that everything that's out there, whether it's, you know, something that we don't know about, like a man bat or a man wolf, we all are on an equal level, and nothing can really hurt us unless we allow it to. And so if you have fear of something, it could hurt you. If you can bring that to you. And then if you're at peace with it and truly filled with the positive energy, you can protect yourself, I think, from just about anything. Although I'm not willing to try that, Linda.
Well, you know, I think that I can make you feel better on even another level, a more physical level, which is that in all these years, I've received hundreds and hundreds of reports. I still get 1 to 3 a week from not just Wisconsin and Michigan, but all over the world. And of all the ones that I've received, nobody has ever been hurt. Even when people have been out in the wilderness face-to-face with it, have been chased by it, had their shirt clawed by it.
You'd think that something, it could easily get you. So why is that? Why is that, that it doesn't hurt people?
I don't know. I do believe that it somehow lends credence to the Native American view, which is that it is a spirit creature that comes here from another world, that it's corporeal while it's here, but that its business is not really to eat people, but to maybe interact with them, maybe collect some emotional energy from them. The only one that I've got that was a man in Quebec Province, Canada, who encountered it out in the wilderness while he was alone. It lunged at him, and he dodged, and I think this was probably accidental. It ended up with its fang grazing his hip. He sent me a picture of it. And on my website, beastofbrayroad.com, BRAY road.com, I have a picture of it under the sightings log. If you go on there, you can see the picture of his scar. It's about a 10-inch jagged scar. And I think even that was an accident, because if something was that close and that big, and it wanted to get him, it could have.
Absolutely. And again, I think that there is this great, everything is created in the universe. Everything has to be created, right, by some creator. So we are all on an equal playing field, and none of us truly have the upper hand. Now, maybe physically we hurt each other as people, but I think there's an understanding, like you say, the Native Americans talk about. And that, to me, explains why these beings, like the chupacabra, if that one exists, could easily hurt us, could easily attack us, but it doesn't, you know?
Right.
Chooses not to.
I think that people, in fact, people always ask me for advice about going hunting for these creatures, which I don't really advise. But if you do go out, I tell them, please be prepared. I think you're a lot more likely to encounter and be attacked by a cougar or a bear or a wild hog or something like, or a wolf, you know, that the natural carnivores that might see you as, as human prey.
Yeah, they might decide to eat you. The man bat won't, but boy, that black bear is kind of hungry.
Yeah, you just don't know what they're up to. Don't get between a black bear and her cubs, please.
So, and I'm sure there are a lot of people now that this has grown in popularity. They've read your books. They've heard about this stuff. So people do go out and explore those kind of things. So the man bat, that's pretty much the end of the story on the man bat then? That was the last of it?
I haven't had any other reported sightings, but, you know, we also, the weird thing about La Crosse is that there have been lizard man sightings.
Lizard man.
I had a story from a man and his son who went looking for their lost dog down by the riverbank in La Crosse. And before they found their dog, they encountered this dripping, green scale-covered humanoid, earless, kind of big slanty eyes. Just standing like it had just crawled out of the river.
Did it see them at all?
It did. It saw them, and they had sort of a standoff. It didn't move, and they just kind of backed slowly away from it.
Did they sense anything?
I had another report that I couldn't really get to the prime people, but an elderly couple claimed that it was running alongside their car.
The lizard thing?
Yeah, the lizard thing. And the interesting thing is there's another really much better documented pair of sightings of the lizard man a bit north up near Medford on Highway 13, not too far apart in terms of years, where not only a truck full of highway workers saw it, and also a state patrolman saw it. This is documented in the Weird Wisconsin book and the Strange Wisconsin book. And the thing is that when they looked at it, it just appeared to be you know, a regular four-limbed creature. But when it realized it had been seen, it snapped wings out from behind its back and flew off. So it appears to be related to the wing things. And this one that was seen in La Crosse might also have had wings, but just folded behind its back. And, you know, I was looking and thinking, well, how would it get from La Crosse to Medford? And one thing I always like to do when I'm investigating these things is really look at the topography and geography and see what kind of environment we're dealing with. And what I realized was that the Black River, which is meets the Mississippi and the La Crosse rivers down in La Crosse, extends up to Medford, right alongside the highway where these sightings occurred. And nobody else had made that connection. But you've got a waterway that connects, and you could just see the lizard man just swimming up north.
makes you want to be a little more careful to go hanging out in a river.
Yes.
Any sightings of those in Michigan or upper Michigan of the lizard?
I have not so far had sightings
of the
lizard man or the man bat in
That's
Michigan.
That's good.
But you never know.
You keep them down there, Linda. You keep them down there. Because we got a few strange things up here as well. And those are just two of, I'm sure, many, many reports that you get. You take reports on just about everything. Do you have any more recent, like, things that have happened more recently that people have sent you?
Well, I continually get sightings of the man wolf or dog man, you know, as it's called in Michigan. And I do believe it is the same creature, just, you know, different home names for it. And oftentimes the sightings I get may be new, but they occurred a few years ago. And there was one that was kind of interesting near Lapeer that came from a person. It actually happened in 2001, which is 8 years ago, which isn't terribly long in terms of creature sightings. And it happened in February, which is probably the least likely month for sightings. But it just goes to show you can always see these things. And he said, there's a pond about 20 miles away from my town, which is isolated, has some good-sized fish in it, and 10 to 15 camps on it, but it's usually very quiet. And he said he was sitting there, daydreaming, looking around, and way off to his right, he saw what he thought was a person walking across the pond. He said he could only make out the silhouette. They were walking in that clumsy style of someone trudging through snow would make, or as if wearing snowshoes, lumbering along. And he tried to get its attention because he thought that it was going to fall in the water, probably. So he was yelling, standing up, waving his arms, if you could imagine. And then he noticed, to his sort of concern, that it started walking in his direction. And he kept fishing, looking up to see where the person was. And as the person got closer, within 100 yards, he stood up again and yelled, as if he needed help, paused, continued heading straight for him, and then began running at him on all fours.
Uh-oh.
So now that's a really bad sign.
That would make it, yes, time to leave.
Yeah, when you think that you've got a person, you know, lumbering across the ice, and then it begins running at you on all fours, he said he began picking up speed and, quote, it didn't look like no man.
Mm.
I dropped everything, ran back to my car, got in, locked the door, started the car up, and it kept running until it got quite close, stopped, turned, and then ran back up the shore, up the bank, and into the woods. And it was not a man. It was not a Bigfoot. It looked dog-like. And, you know, Bigfoot wouldn't run on all fours anyway because they're really primates and upright primates. He doesn't remember, and he remembers the dark fur, the dog-like head.
Mm.
And I don't think that you'd find any natural wolf walking on its hind legs across the ice.
Chances are probably not.
No, and it is very common with these creatures that people will observe it moving both in both ways. Both either they'll see it standing up and it'll drop down on all fours, or they'll see it on all fours and it'll stand up and come at them on two legs. It seems to be able to go just as easily either way.
Linda, let me ask you this. You don't think it was Lon Chaney, do you?
No, Lon Chaney Jr. and his dad are dead.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll talk to Linda S. Godfrey, and we'll be back shortly.
Out there.
Next week, I got a good friend coming in. His name is Dwayne Kennard. I've known Dwayne a while. I've actually been out to the lodge where they sometimes get together more than once. I've been there and I've seen some things happen. And I really believe that the native teaching, the true understanding of it, now every teaching might be slightly different, but I think when you allow yourself to feel it and see it like Dwayne and others have, they have a real good grasp on what is really going on, and they can explain some of the things that maybe we don't understand as far as like Bigfoot and things like that. So some of the shows that I've talked about those things, Dwayne has probably some answers for those things and what they're doing. And we talk about a lot of other things too. So I hope you join me for the first of two parts coming up next week. And thanks for listening to the show. You can find it at outthere.podbean.com or www.braverinstitute.com.
It's out there.
My name is TJ Ryan. You're listening to Out There. My guest is Linda Godfrey. Second time she's been on the show, and I hope we continue to do this many times because you really tell the stories, for one, in a really interesting way. You can pick up her books, Strange Michigan, Weird Wisconsin, Strange Wisconsin, also Beast of Bray Road. What other websites do you have as well?
Well, and there's also Hunting the American Werewolf, which was made into a Monster Quest episode on History Channel, American Werewolf. My websites are beastofbrayroad, B-R-A-Y, road.com, and weirdmichigan.com.
You know, some of you might be listening and going, well, that's just a bunch of crap. These people are making stuff up, and nothing against Linda. I'm sure she's researching it. You know, some of you will say that. There was a time in my life I probably would have said that, you know? And then some things start happening to me, but more importantly, to people that I really know and trust, and they don't tell the story very easily.
Right.
You almost got to yank it out of them. A real good friend of mine told me that when he was younger, he was in high school, I think, at the time, or just out of high school, and he would ride his bike through town in Escanaba, Michigan, and they lived just outside of it near the airport. So he had to ride, you know, head down the lakefront, and then it was several blocks before he would get to work. And he told me one morning when he was doing that, he looked across the side of the other side of the road on a sidewalk, and, you know, these are just like city streets, you know.
Right.
And across there is this dog, and it's making the strangest noise that he's ever heard. And it's running and it's yelping at him, staying even with him, but it's not crossing the street. And it's chasing. It's almost like it's chasing him, but it won't come after him.
And did he describe the noise?
It was a high-pierced noise of some sort. And this thing, I don't know if it had glowing red eyes or something, but it something was unique about it. And I'd have to talk to him again. And it chased him for several blocks before he just let out a big yell.
Wow.
Something like, he said, "Leave me alone!" And it disappeared. He looked back over and it was gone, just like that.
Huh.
Now, this story is echoed the same thing by two other people that he knows. And it's weird how he's met these people. But he was studying to become a priest at one time, and this, this one man who was a priest was telling a story about being at some retreat area, and the priest went off into the woods, and they had a little, like, I don't know, some kind of chapel. And when the man was going into the chapel, there was the same type of dog that was there. And this thing was howling, making a weird noise, and scared the heck out of him. And the priest was saying prayers, and eventually he just decided, you know what, I'm going to make a run for it. And he ran and right around the dog, and when he turned around, the dog was gone. And then now a third story, and then I'll let your opinion on this.
Is there any way these people can write to me?
I'm going to ask my buddy if he can do that.
Because I'm writing a third beast book right now.
Well, this is a man now. Don't you think this is a weird coincidence, and there are no coincidences?
Right.
My buddy Joe, who I'm trying to get on the show, but he's probably a little worried about what people are going to think.
Sure.
His neighbor tells him of an incident in Vietnam when he was a soldier over there, and they were near water, and he was going to the latrine, and you always brought your gun with you because you just never knew.
Right.
Well, this one time, I don't think he brought his gun with him. But he looked over, and on like a sand dune, there was the same type of dog, and it was standing there. And it was weird, and it had made a weird noise. And so he saw it, and after that, and it just disappeared. He turned for a moment, and the dog was gone. And there's no way it could have disappeared like that because there was a long landscape. You couldn't run that fast. And so, you know, that's another thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Well, I have, and there is actually another type of sighting that I classify that doesn't seem to fall into the category of something that could be a natural animal. They're what you call black phantom dogs or black dogs or black shuck or hellhounds.
Yes.
And these things have red glowing eyes, and they behave very supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
They're not always on hind legs. Sometimes they just look like a huge black dog. And the one of the big differences is that their eyes glow red, whereas the man wolf or dog man has a yellow eye shine like a natural wolf would.
Okay.
And it seems to be something that really.
So this is more of a, and some people might say it's a demonic creature. I don't know if I view it that way,
yes.
But that's probably a way to describe it.
A lot of people have described it that way.
Okay.
Especially when it seems to fall more into the red glowing eyes and the black phantom hound type of.
But again, here's something, Linda, that could have easily grabbed my buddy Joe and easily grabbed that priest, and it didn't. So again, there seems to be that separation.
Well, you know, the sound is something else. I have a really one of the most bone-chilling incidents that I've ever heard was from somebody near Holly, Michigan, in the area of Flint. And this story is in the Hunting the American Werewolf book. But he was a repo man, and he was out on Fish Lake Road, which is very isolated, looking into somebody's empty garage to see if the truck he was looking for was in there, had gotten out of his own truck, and he sensed that something was behind him. The hairs went up on his neck, and he turned around, and not very far away at all was standing the dog man, yellow glowing eyes, and it was making this strange growling sound at him. And he made the noise for me over the phone, and I just about froze because I'd had somebody else demonstrate the exact same noise for me from Wisconsin that had also seen this creature. And it's the best way I can describe it. I had them both recorded, and my recording's kind of melted. But the best way I can describe it is like a cappuccino maker.
Mm.
It's a variable pitch, and it goes kind of like, you know, it goes from a very high growl down to it drops to low and then back up.
Hmm.
And just about identical sounds, and that's why I wondered, you know, if this man described the sound exactly. But it's very unusual. It doesn't sound like a normal dog or wolf growling.
No, it's something certainly supernatural, if you want to label it as that. It's something that's not a physical animal. Somehow popping in and popping out. Now, there's one other thing I want to mention to you as well and get your input on this. There was a woman I talked to. Actually, she was a girl at the time. She was maybe 16. She was in high school, and she actually was interested in working at the radio station I was at or getting involved in radio, so she actually was down for a job shadowing. And so I was talking to her just off the cuff about strange things, and this is a few years ago, and she started telling me about this incident that happened at her house where they were playing hide-and-seek, and they had been playing with a Ouija board before that.
Uh-oh.
And this wolf-like creature first of all, she felt something behind her, and she thought it was one of her friends. She turned around. It's this wolf-like creature, and I think it had glowing eyes, but I don't remember exactly. It's been a while since I heard this story. And it actually chased her. It bit off part of her, the heel of her flip-flop.
Wow.
And then they all saw it, and the doors on the house slammed shut, so nobody could run in the house. So they circled the house three times with this thing chasing them, and then the door magically popped open, and they ran in.
Yikes.
And then they all became born again after that. But she said her friend, now again, this is a person I really don't know that well, so I don't know the accuracy of this story, but she was just telling me this matter of fact, not like she was trying to brag about it.
Right.
She said her friend was out at their house, and they have like a tree house. Now, these gals are maybe 12, 13 years old. They're young kids, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she's up in the tree house, and she sees the swing. She looks out the window of the tree house, and she sees the swing down below swinging back and forth, but nothing's on it. She looks through a knot hole in the tree house. Here's that same wolf-like creature swinging on it.
Weird.
Yeah, it scared the hell out of her, too.
Wow, I need her to write me, too. I really do. And, you know, all of these people or anyone out there who may be listening, I do keep you anonymous. You know, I always need to have contact info to prove to my editor that I didn't make it up. But I don't have to publish names.
You know, we're just about out of time, but what do you think these things are? We've talked about this before. Where do they come from, and what are they?
Well, I go back and forth. They're either something like my Native American friends tell me that is living in another dimension and popping forth through portals or dimensional openings, or they are some kind of a specially adapted species of timber wolf that has learned to walk upright for certain advantages and has somehow kind of managed to perpetuate it. I'm not sure exactly how.
Okay, that's for like but what about the man bat, and what about the lizard man? What about
those things? To me, the man bat, the lizard man, seem really almost clearly supernatural. You know, they just do things that seem impossible for physical creatures to do and are so unknown anatomically that, you know, you just have to figure there are other, we know there are other dimensions if quantum mechanic physics is correct, and who's to say there aren't connections or openings between them?
And who's to say maybe that door isn't opening up a little wider?
Yeah, it seems that way. It really does. Like those connections are getting more frequent happening more closely together.
Well, Linda, if people want to find out more about the books you've written, once again, if you could tell us about your websites, please.
Yes, there's weirdmichigan.com, W-E-I-R-D, and also beastofbrayroad.com, BRAYroad.com. I also have a MySpace blog. If you just look for Linda Godfrey, all run together, you'll find it there.
Okay, great. Well, thank you once again, and I look forward to another conversation down the road.
Anytime, TJ. It was a pleasure.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.
Well, that's really interesting. Wow. What would I do? Again, I would crap my pants.
Well, yeah, when you think it's a person, and you know, it's the chilling thing is when you realize that you've been trying to attract its attention, and yeah, it's coming for you.